Hi, I'm Abby.
And I'm Ashlyn.
And this is the Ice Cream Social.
Hey guys, quick tidbit, be sure to support your favorite podcast by checking out our Linktree in our Instagram bio for tons of fun stuff related to the pod. Do it.
How the heck are ya?
Whew, howdy.
I feel like I've aged like a couple years before.
A lot's changed.
Since we've been in here.
A lot's changed.
A lot of life has happened.
It's been so long.
I know.
Brings one tear to my eye.
A single tear.
Just one single tear.
Yep. Okay, when I saw you earlier today, I forgot to tell you about when I went ghost hunting.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah.
How was it?
Good. We went back to Rolling Hills, which I did an episode on.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember. I think that was like episode in the early days. I don't know. One of the early ones.
Episode. Yep.
We went back there. Mike and his sister went too. Mm-hmm. And we did like a public hunt. For 6 hours, we were, like, locked in there.
Nice.
It was so fun.
Ugh.
That place is so cool.
Anything creepy happen?
We were, like, talking to the spirit of George through a flashlight. It was, like, turning the flashlight on and off, which is cool, which is what I had happen the last time I was there. We were, like, talking to Nurse Emmy through the flashlight. And that just, like, every time it gets me because I'm like, how? How is this happening right now? You know what I mean? Like, how is it turning the flashlight on and off?
At least for me, like, I don't want to believe it. But then really when I start to think about it, I'm like, same thing. How the hell is this happening?
Right.
Okay, fine. If it's not ghosts, why is this happening right now? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's very weird.
We went in with, like, all the equipment. Like, we got a spirit box.
That's amazing. Those freak me out only because, is that the one that's really loud?
Yeah, so you can adjust the... The volume.
Every
level.
Time I see people use it, they have it turned up so to like 11, and I'm like, this is so loud. It's, that alone, I've talked about it on here before, that the loud noises, that alone freaks me out.
Yeah.
Just it being so loud.
Yeah, the thing that creeped me out about that when we were there is that, you know, and obviously, like, you watch Ghost Adventures too. It's like, you see it always like, having words come through on there and whatever, and you're like, okay, maybe they're just picking up random radio frequencies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the weird thing when you're like actually using one is how often it's inactive and it's just static. Like,
really?
You know, we were there 6 hours. We probably got 3 words that came out of it the entire time we were there.
I feel like whenever you see it, at least on Ghost Adventures, mm-hmm. it's always like
spitting out
the first couple like sounds of a word. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's weird. It's because when like Ghost Adventures or like TV shows like that, when they go to these places, they're normally there for like a couple days.
Yeah, they only keep the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So they only show like 45 minutes of footage.
They don't show the hours that they sat there in silence.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I think about that though.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting as far as like the equipment goes, and you know, we had like a EMF reader and whole nine yards.
That's so fun.
I, of course, wore my glow-in-the-dark Ice Cream Social sweatshirt.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was glowing. I have a picture.
That's amazing.
I'll post it. I have a picture of, like, my sweatshirt glowing in the dark hallway.
That makes me so happy for some reason. Like, just like that was there in a really creepy freaking place that we've talked about.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
I know. I was like, do I need to, like, wash it now, you know?
No.
Like, dark spirits.
Don't. Oh, like earlier I passed the statue of Grace Sherwood.
Mm.
And I was like, ugh. We've shared her story.
Yeah.
Good old Grace.
Who was definitely a witch.
Definitely a witch. She died and there was like a hurricane. Yeah, I think she's a witch.
They tried to kill her like 10 different ways.
She's like,
just wouldn't die.
Nope. Not gonna do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I do die, I'm gonna leave a plague on your house.
Yeah.
Yep. And your land and yard and everything.
Pretty much.
And your cattle.
But what have you been up to the past?
Oh my gosh,
been 3 weeks, I think.
That makes me so sad that it's been 3 weeks. A lot of life. I have one more week until my summer break, which thank goodness.
I'm so jealous.
I got a haircut.
Big all of
stuff.
Them?
Big stuff.
Or just one?
Just one haircut. And then I got a new job. So I'm going officially going to high school, finally. Loved Mike's joke. That made me laugh harder than anything else. He was like, finally getting your GED. I was like, you know, better late than never. And then I just got a new car the other day. So yeah, big good stuff.
Big
stuff. All fresh stuff. So, you know, it's good.
It's like, I was thinking about this earlier today. It's like months of just like stagnant routine.
Nothing.
And then bam, 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 all the same time.
New. Yeah. That's how I like to do it. Just save it up for all at once.
It'd be like that,
It's like Christmas and then, But yeah, all good stuff. Yeah. Other than that, I've just been sitting alone waiting for you to get back.
We did not rest on our trip. Like, it was so busy. There was just wedding stuff all day, every day, pretty much. Like,
sounds awful.
And then, of course, Mac. Should we call him Mac?
His name is Mac now. Mac with the back. I'm sorry, Mac. I'm sorry, that's fine.
Yeah, Mike had spinal surgery earlier this week, so...
It's very funny.
Yeah.
Cripple, not serious at all.
Cripple in the house, you know. No, I mean, I was super nervous, like, leading up to it, but okay, so now everything's fine.
And he looks taller, so...
Yeah, like, what is that about?
I don't know. I think it's one thing for anybody to say it, but then the fact that more than one person has said it, I think that's that's weird.
Kind of, because I thought it the other night, I was like, I swear you're taller. Like, he was standing in front of me, I'm like, your face is normally lower.
Maybe
I
he's
swear.
Just standing up straighter like than he normally is.
His spine is straight, maybe. But then we measured him, and I'm not the best measurer, but...
It is a pretty serious profession.
We did the old-fashioned like mark on the wall for his head.
That's
said
amazing.
It was the same, yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
No, me either. Me either. But
weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's good
to
be back.
There's something else I wanted to tell you. Oh, and a little shout out to Tracy for giving us the most amazing wine coasters.
Super
cute. So on brand. Thank you, Tracy. We love them. Oh. We use them all the time. What should we talk about? How there will be less episodes or not yet?
That hurts to say.
Just for a little while.
Just for edification's sake. Yeah. Just because it's going to be a really busy summer. Oh, somebody's getting married and learning, getting a third, fourth job, you know.
I don't think that it serves anyone having, like, rushed episodes. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think so either.
I want to give it my all, man.
Yeah, if they come out, I want them to be good, not be like, here's another rushed garbage episode for
exactly.
you this week.
Exactly. Yeah. We want to avoid that because nobody wants that.
So the frequency might be less often for a little while.
Yeah.
But we'll get back into a routine as best we can.
Yeah. A lot of life happening.
We are kind of people outside of... Yeah. This room.
And we don't get paid to do this. So.
Unfortunately.
Not yet.
But check us out on our Patreon. Check out all our amazing little link tree that Abby made for us on our Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's got all kinds of good stuff. Give us your money.
Go buy a hoodie. People love
Seriously,
them.
Go buy a hoodie. They're like, so what soft. Are you doing? Yeah. Go buy a hoodie. They're
go
amazing.
Buy
They're comfortable.
You love a hoodie.
Yeah, or buy yourself one. Love yourself. Buy yourself a hoodie.
Oh, I would love
or
to
a
see,
tank
like,
top?
A little kid wearing one of the hoodies. That
oh
would be really adorable.
God. Where Somebody are our friends that have children?
We don't really have
send,
friends
Don't
have
send
children.
Us photos of your children.
In our merch.
Put your children in our merch.
Yeah. Yep. But not in a weird way.
Not in a weird way. Now it's weird.
Do you want to hear a joke?
Yeah. Tell me a joke. We have tank tops too, right? It's summertime. Buy a tank top.
We don't have tank tops.
We don't have tank tops?
No, fake news.
Oh my God. This is embarrassing. Or sweatpants. Who are we?
Oh, I really want sweatpants.
Who do we think we are?
That says, like, screamer on the butt.
So what's your joke?
How do you
That cannot... I'm sorry. Wait, pause. That cannot be the name of, like, our fans.
No, they're Screamers? Ice cream socialists, remember?
Yeah, but, like,
but
it can't be abbreviated
be
to that.
I just think it'd be fun. You know, Yelp came out with panties that say, I yelp on the butt. Or, I make me yelp is what they say on the butt. I just think that's
My
so
family
funny.
Listens to this.
Hey, I mean, they're
anyway, you
know, big company, whatever.
Move on. All right. Move on.
What's How your joke? Do you fix a broken tuba?
How do you fix a broken tuba?
With a tuba glue.
Oh my god. That was amazing. A little sip break. It's just water.
All right. Are you excited for my story? Mm-hmm. Now that I told you it's set in Scotland.
Aye, lassie.
I had a lot of fun researching this story. It's well known, but not to me. So I was having a good old time.
If you barely knew it, then I definitely don't know it. So
it's a mystery.
Learn me a thing or two.
All right. So, like I said, today's story is set in Scotland.
Scotland.
Off the west coast of Scotland, to be exact, near the highest point of Eileen Moor, one of the Scottish Flannan Isles. This is where a lighthouse sits.
Ugh, a freaking lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. This lighthouse sits on Eileen Moor, which, again, I looked this up. It says that it's pronounced Eileen Moor.
Which way?
That's what Mike's doing. He's leaning more. So Eileen Moor is one of seven islets, which, so cute. Like a tiny little isle.
Just an so islet. Cute.
Seven islets that make up the Scottish Flannan Isles. These islets are also known as the Seven Hunters. So this lighthouse, it's set high up on the rocky and quite moody island. A simple rock path up from the shore leads to it. It's very picturesque, like in a creepy way.
Oh.
I'll show you a picture. And of course, I'll post pictures. It's kind of like straight out of Shutter Island.
I want that as like just giant blown up photos in my living room.
Isn't it?
Because it's a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful, but also a little bit creepy.
Here's a good creepy old grainy photo of it.
It, like, it's almost giving, like, the Ring video. Like,
yes, exactly. It's giving the Ring video. Thank you.
Now I'm really uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. Okay, so over a century ago, on December 15th of 1900.
Dang, all
right. Quite a while ago.
Throwing it back.
A steamer ship called Anktor meandered by the little isle and noticed that the lighthouse wasn't lit.
Uh-oh.
It being a lighthouse, this was obviously out of the ordinary.
Not a dark house.
And quite dangerous. I mean, these are Victorian times, and lighthouses were absolutely crucial to those aboard a vessel on the high sea. So when the steamer finally docked in nearby Lee, Scotland, 3 days later, they reported to the Northern Lighthouse Board about what they'd seen. 5 days after the initial sighting of the darkened lighthouse, on December 20th, a sort of relief ship called the Hesperus, named after the Greek mythological evening star, attempted to make its way out to the island, but had to turn back, not reaching its destination due to poor weather conditions. Interestingly, this was a routine trip for this craft. You know, they didn't even have word about the sighting of the darkened lighthouse. They were just going out there to basically exchange lighthouse keepers.
Yeah.
Like they would have someone
Love
go
the
watch
exchange
it,
of a lighthouse keeper.
You yeah. know, so that they could rest. Because they're not
like
allowed
that's
to
common
leave
knowledge
it.
To everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
It should be.
Good.
Learn
so
up.
The day after Christmas, Hesperus Captain Jim Harvey would finally reach the waters surrounding the worrisome island. When he arrived around midday, he blared the ship's horn and sent up flares into the air in hopes of rousing some response from the three lighthouse keepers that took residence at Eileen Moor. He got no response.
I'm sorry, there's three of them there and nobody mm-hmm. answered?
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Three lighthouse keepers lived at the lighthouse on Eileen Moor: James Ducat, Thomas Marshall, and William MacArthur. James Ducat was the principal keeper, like head bitch in charge. Thomas Marshall was the second assistant keeper. And Donald MacArthur was an occasional keeper who was filling in for this guy named William Ross, who was the first assistant that was on sick leave.
Okay.
Okay?
How convenient.
So a member of the Hesperus party, a relief lighthouse keeper named Joseph Moore, he set out on a small boat from Hesperus to reach the shores of the island. Islet, whatever you want to call it.
Islet.
He docked this small craft and noticed that things weren't set up for their arrival as they would have typically been. So, like, the flag was not on the flagstaff. There was no box of provisions left for them. And, of course, none of the lighthouse keepers were there to greet him his arrival. Yeah. Joseph Moore then descended the winding rocky staircase that was cut into the aisle. Three giant black birds perched on the cliffs above him watched him as he climbed to the entrance gate and main door of the lighthouse compound. So, you know, the living quarters and whatnot were contained inside the lighthouse itself.
Right.
Which, of course, you know, because their main goal when they're there is to keep the lighthouse lit. So they're not leaving.
It's just like a little rock, basically, with the lighthouse on it.
Yeah, and like the lighthouse
living quarters are in there.
Exactly. But it's a large compound.
Well, yeah. But yeah. Not like a little rock, excuse me. But
right.
There's not anywhere else for them to go besides this lighthouse.
Yeah. So Joseph Moore, when he reached the lighthouse compound, he found that both the entrance gate and the main door were both locked. Joseph Moore climbed, once he got inside, he climbed the 160 steps up the lighthouse where he finally reached the living quarters inside. Once inside, he found that all of the beds were unmade. The clock in the kitchen had stopped. The table was set for a meal that was uneaten, a meal that consisted of meat, potatoes, and pickles. There was a lamp that was like shined and ready to be lit. A canary still fluttered in its cage in the kitchen. Say that five times fast.
Oh, gosh.
Two of three oilskin coats belonging to the lighthouse keepers had been taken. So oilskin coats are like rugged cotton coats that have been waterproofed with oil.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're your best friend if you're a lighthouse keeper and there's bad weather.
Right.
The only sign that something was amiss at all was a toppled chair in the kitchen. One of the chairs had been tipped over. That and the fact that all three lighthouse keepers were gone.
Oh, man.
So what's especially interesting about this part is that not only did one of the men clearly exit the lighthouse without his coat, it was December, remember, but the idea that all three of them left at the same time, this was perplexing to investigators, you know, because the rules of their post at the lighthouse strictly forbade all of them to leave at the same time.
For very obvious reasons.
Yes. Someone was always needed to man the post at all times, regardless of all else. Okay. So what could possibly have been so shocking that all three men would abandon the lighthouse and ignore what had been strict protocol? So when Joseph Moore returned to the main ship that he came in on, the entire crew disembarked and searched the island and came up with nothing. Captain Harvey then sent a telegraph to the mainland that read as follows. A dreadful accident has happened at Flannan's. The three keepers, Ducat, Marshall, and the occasional, have disappeared from the island. On our arrival there this afternoon, no sign of life was to be seen on the island. Fired a rocket, but as no response was made, managed to land Moore, who went up to the station but found no keepers there. The clocks were stopped, and other signs indicated that the accident must have happened about a week ago. Poor fellows, they must have been blown over the cliffs or drowned trying to secure a crane or something like that. Night coming on, we could not wait to make something as to their fate. I have left Moore, McDonald, Bowie Master, and two seamen on the island to keep the light burning until you make other arrangements. Will not return to Oban until I hear from you. I have repeated this wire to Murhead in case you are not at home, and I will remain at the telegraph office tonight until it closes if you wish to wire me. So basically, he's like, this is the situation. What the hell?
What are we supposed to do now?
Right. And upon finding the log that was kept by the lighthouse keepers of Flannan Isle, the confusion of all those who found it, it grew to an even greater height.
Oh, man.
So on December 12th, Keeper Marshall wrote about severe winds, the likes of which I have never seen before in 20 years. He wrote that Ducat had been especially quiet and MacArthur had been crying.
Crying?
Which was very odd for a man with a steely and tough reputation like MacArthur's. MacArthur was also accomplished and an experienced seafarer, and he was known to not have much in the way of a sensitive side. So him writing that this guy was crying, it's
very, very bizarre.
Yeah. There were also logs about damage the storm had caused on the island. You know, turf had been ripped up and some supplies had been damaged. Even a huge rock that weighed more than a ton was missing from the island in that area. So there had been a lot of stormy water, basically, that had come up on the land and destroyed Wild. Some stuff. So the following day, Marshall wrote in the log that the storm continued and that the three men had all been praying. This was also strange for the three experienced men who were in a safe, well-built, quite new lighthouse. You know, in fact, it took 4 years to build this lighthouse, and it was completed just the year before this happened, in 1899. So it's like a brand new lighthouse. They should feel very secure in it,
and they regardless were not of what the weather. Very secure.
Right, like they're crying, they're praying. It's bizarre behavior. Another odd bit was that there were no reported storms in the area on those days of December 12th, 13th, or 14th. There weren't any storms at all until the 17th.
Of course.
The very last entry in the book was on December 15th, and it read, "Storm ended, sea calm, God is over all."
What?
So, what happened to these men?
Yeah.
Well, an investigation led by Robert Muirhead began on December 29th, in which he determined that the oilskin coat left behind belonged to William MacArthur. I'm not sure exactly how he decided this, but it was known that the investigator was very familiar with all three of the missing men in life. After going over the damage on the western side of the island, Muirhead speculated that Marshall and Duquette had gone out to secure the equipment that had been that was damaged, and, you know, when they didn't return to the lighthouse, MacArthur had gone out after them. Muirhead was convinced that around dinner time on Saturday the 15th, an extra large wave had risen up. Again, there was evidence that the water had risen to 200 feet above the shoreline during this time.
Holy.
And his theory is that a giant wave swept all three men away to sea when they're trying to, like, fasten all of their equipment down, okay? This is what Muirhead believes, but it doesn't exactly explain why the logbook had been written in after the storm had passed and the sea was, quote, calm.
Oh.
And not surprisingly, the public ran wild with speculation after this as to what really happened to the men on the Flannan Isle. One of the reasons that this speculation was so great was because the Isle already had quite a malevolent paranormal reputation among the locals.
Of course it did.
Now, nobody lived on Eileen Moor besides some sheep and obviously the lighthouse keepers, but those in the area of the Flannan Isles had speculated about Eileen Moor for years. You might ask, okay, if no one lived there, why would it have a reputation? Well, this is because there were the remaining ruins of a chapel on the islet that had been built in the 7th century by St. Flannan. Apparently, those who visited the islet were often moved to begin praying and worshiping at the chapel ruins, even if they weren't typically in the practice of ever praying.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah. And it makes me think about the fact them that praying. All three men were praying.
Yeah.
There were also strange superstitions surrounding the chapel ruins here. Like, if you passed it, it was important. You would have to, like, circle the ruins on your knees.
Let me just get out and do that real quick. Like, shuffle around. Hustle.
Yeah. For whatever reason, the islet just had this indiscernible aura to it that elicited a fearful reverence to visitors. Local sheep herders referred to the remote island as the other country and believed it to be a place touched by the paranormal. Shepherds would apparently ferry their sheep over to the islet to graze, but then they would always leave by nightfall. Like, they were like, we're not...
I feel like if sheep herders are saying that, here. I want to believe that.
Yeah. And a lot of the focal... Oh my God, I cannot speak today.
The focals.
Some locals.
Folk locals.
Some locals believe that the land was inhabited by the fair folk, and others believed it to be inhabited by the devil himself. Wow. So again, needless to say, theories ran wild when it came to what fate these men met on Eileen Moor. So as we do, let's start with the more realistic and head towards the more far-fetched.
Amazing.
So, of course, the idea that the men were truly swept away to sea.
Right.
Of course. I mean, maybe. But, of course, you know, they recorded good weather before they disappeared. It kind of cancels that out,
they
right?
wrote in the book after the bad weather had dissipated. Right. Yeah, that doesn't really make sense.
Which, I will say, In a lot of the accounts online, they kind of talk about the fact that they think that the log is like a fabricated addition to this story that was added years later.
Oh.
But in the Northern Lighthouse on their website, like the people
they say who it's
investigated
real.
This, they include the logbook in their retelling of this story.
Hmm. Are there any like images of it or?
No.
Mm.
No.
Mm.
I don't think so.
How convenient.
Ooh, I'll look. I'll post that on Instagram.
Because I feel like that would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing to add to this, I find it strange that MacArthur would leave his coat behind if bad weather was amok. You know, and it's not like you can just run out the door of this lighthouse and see what's up. Like, there's 160 steps up and down from the living quarters. You know, and plus, like, if he had gone out to search for the men, it wouldn't have been in such a rush. Like, the flipped over chair, the meal left behind.
Yeah.
That doesn't really make much sense to me, personally.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's not like he could peek out the window and see them and be like, oh, yeah, let me go catch them.
Right.
160 steps later.
Right, right. And, you know, there were windows in the living quarters area out the lighthouse, but he wouldn't have been able to see the part of the island where all of the damage was taking place.
Yeah.
And he would have been out of earshot, too. So that just doesn't really make sense to me. Like, it's one thing if you're like, oh, I should go check on them because they haven't come back, but...
It's the most reasonable theory, but there's too many holes.
Yeah.
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 It's to leave your dinner untouched, lamp unlit,
right,
coat on the wall,
right,
flip your chair over.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very weird.
Something to support this theory, though, is that Marshall had been charged 5 shillings in the past for losing equipment, which was apparently a lot of money to a man in this line of work at the time, and he had, like, a family to take care of and things like that. So, you know, some do theorize that he would have really wanted to avoid that kind of fine again by, like, going out in whatever kind of weather to secure the equipment. But, again, there's just holes. I don't know.
I mean,
who knows? In a theory that I found interesting to branch off of this, though, a lighthouse keeper who worked in these parts at the time, he blamed the wind. He said that he had been walking one day holding a fridge. I assume a smaller sized fridge that predates anything we're familiar with.
Just carrying a fridge.
When a strong gust of wind lifted him and the fridge into the air and carried him about 30 feet. But again, that doesn't explain the rushed exit from the lighthouse.
It reached into the lighthouse, picked him up, took him all down right. 160 flights of stairs.
Right, right. Our next theory is that MacArthur had something to do with it.
Mm.
So MacArthur, the crying tough guy, he, again, was known to have a reputation as a hothead and for picking fights. And, you know, this theory, yeah, it's focused on the psychological state of MacArthur, but really you can consider the psychological state of any of these guys. I mean, they're on this isolated, remote island.
It's just three
islet.
Men on an island by themselves.
For months.
And there was, like, no TV or phones then.
Oh, no.
So they're just chilling with their thoughts.
Yeah, and they had been out there for 2.5 months at this point.
Oh, wow. It's a long time to be in close quarters, especially if you're not, like, a people person.
And, I mean, MacArthur wasn't necessarily supposed to be there. He was filling in for someone.
Right.
So he especially might be
kind of like the
perturbed
odd man out
about being there.
Yeah. He was probably just mad that the guy wrote that he was crying. Because isn't the
That's
logbook,
where it all went wrong.
Isn't the logbook, isn't that for all three of them to keep?
I think so.
Like, so they, like, one writes in it, then the next one writes in it, and he probably saw it and was like, that's
you better
it.
But he didn't erase it.
It's like, you better erase it right now, or I'm going to erase you. And then never erased it himself. So that doesn't work, because even if he got rid of him, he never erased it.
Right.
That was his whole motivation.
Right, exactly.
Makes perfect sense.
Yes, but it's easy to see how a fight could break out under these circumstances. You know, maybe a fight broke out and, you know, MacArthur, he's a hothead, he's pissed, and the other guy tries to, like, get away by running outside or whatever. And then MacArthur, who's pissed, leaves and runs after him, forgets his coat.
Could be. MacArthur stormed out. flipped his chair, didn't grab his coat because he stormed out because he was pissed, and to take a little like stroll, and then the two men gave him a little while and then came after him, and then strong winds or a wave or whatever,
maybe,
or a seal came out of nowhere, I don't know,
maybe,
you never know with waters.
Yeah, I mean, any of these things could be, you know,
we'll never know.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe they got into a fight on the cliffside and fell over.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Or they slipped and broke their ankles, and then the waves took them out.
They broke both of their ankles.
Do you know how rocky those edges are?
Every day I break all my bones.
I have glass bones and paper skin. Yep.
No.
But you could so easily twist your ankle on the rocks, and, like, you're screwed.
Yeah. 100%.
That's why he was crying.
But all of
he
them.
Broke his ankle. One broke his ankle running away, and then one, the two running after him, they each broke their own ankles as they were running too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then a wave came and got them.
Yep.
Even though the weather was calm.
Yep. Residual.
Right.
Waves.
So the other version of the story is that MacArthur murdered the other two men.
Oh.
Maybe he had enough. He killed them, and then he tossed their bodies over the cliff, and then jumped over himself. You know, maybe he
had is very dramatic.
A psychotic break. I hope that
should
isn't
be a
the
movie.
Truth.
That's so dramatic.
It actually is. but again, I mean, even if there was like one of them getting mad at the other one, I still don't think that all of them would go against their training and regulated rules to all leave the lighthouse.
I'd be like, I don't care how mad you are. I'm not leaving the light on the lighthouse.
Right.
You know, unkept. Right.
And like, they're all like girly men. They're probably like, go figure it out outside.
Yeah.
You know?
You can go be mad, but I'm going to, one of us has to do our job, and it's
exactly.
apparently not going to be you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it either way, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. So our next theory is that the men were kidnapped, essentially, or even killed by some nefarious folks who arrived on the island. Not really much to support
amazing.
That. But
amazing. No, it makes sense.
Yeah, maybe. Others speculate that the three men left the island of their own accord to go off and start a new life.
I don't believe that one.
We know for a fact that Marshall had a family, so I don't
maybe
don't
he
know
didn't
about
like him.
One.
It's
maybe.
Happened before.
Yeah. Could be. Other more wild theories suggest a sea monster came and snatched him up.
Oh.
Of course.
You know.
As
one does.
Some thought maybe it was the so-called Phantom of the Seven Hunters, who would apparently lure men to their deaths over the cliffs.
Oh my god.
In the area.
That's amazing.
And the last theory, of course, my favorite, aliens.
Yes.
But, you know, normally aliens do what they want and then they return you, so I don't know about that one.
Right.
I don't know. Regardless of the theories, we will simply never know. Robert Muirhead, superintendent of the Commissioners of Northern Lights, wrote in his official report, "I am of the opinion that the most likely explanation of this disappearance of the men is that they had all gone down on the afternoon of Saturday the 15th of December to the proximity of the West Landing to secure the box with the mooring ropes, etc., and that an unexpectedly large roller had come up on the island, and a large body of water going up higher than where they were and coming down upon them had swept them away with resistless force."
Mm. I'm sorry, did he call a wave a roller?
Yeah.
I am only calling a waves roller. Rollers from now on. Look at those rollers out there. I'm going to sound insane.
Keepers of the Eileen Moore Lighthouse, who followed the three missing keepers, have said that they have never felt relaxed or at ease here among the crashing waves and the screaming seagulls that sound
Ew.
Like lost souls.
Ew!
In 1971, the lighthouse was made fully automated so that keepers were no longer needed there. The mystery of the Flannan Isle Lighthouse continues to fascinate many. It's inspired many poems and stories throughout the years. And in 2019, a movie starring Gerard Butler and Peter Mullen came out called The Vanishing, which explored the story of the three missing lighthouse keepers of Eileen Moore.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to watch that one.
I know. I love Gerard Butler.
Oh, who doesn't?
Yeah.
You're insane if you don't.
Right.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for that very disturbing story.
Lighthouses are just creepy.
They're creepy anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, let alone when there's actually a creepy story behind it.
What you got?
So, funny enough, I might just be telling a story that's another theory for your story.
Ooh, okay.
Guess what I'm talking about?
What?
Pirates.
Oh my god. Why did yep. I not talk about... Well, I guess I kind of did in the kidnapping, but I... Elaborate.
But that's who I'm just going to go with. That's who I think took them was okay. Pirates. We'll just go to that. Yep. So I was immediately intrigued the moment I heard of this woman, and I knew I just had to share her story. Shen Yi Sao, also known as Shi Yang or Qing Shi, was none other than a Chinese pirate leader, and she was a woman.
Of music or the high seas?
The high seas.
Okay.
Not of music or videos or DVDs.
Bootleg videos.
So Shi Yang, born in 1775, came from very humble beginnings. She was born and raised near Xinhui. I'm trying really hard on these pronunciations. Guangdong. It is thought that she very well may have been what is known as a tanka or tanka. I'm sure it's tanka. Anyway.
What's that?
It means boat people. So like the people that lived like on boats.
Yeah.
Shi Yang specifically is believed to have worked and lived on a floating tanka brothel, working as a prostitute much of her young life. However, her life was completely turned around in 1801 when she caught the eye of none other than Sheng Yi, a well-known pirate in the area. Which, like...
Was it her booty?
It should be a movie. Oh my god.
I'm sorry.
I mean, it should be a movie. Like, that sounds amazing. Not that. And that's the tagline.
I'm sorry.
Never find a booty is... I can't. Anyway, so he was a well-known pirate. In fact, Shen Yi came from a long line of pirates, like generations long, which is kind of impressive. And I know these are pirates and they're like not good people, but there's something about a pirate. You just gotta, like, it's like I respect. Mean, the lore like, of it. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. It's the life of action and adventure that's. You know, what fascinates us.
Any chokehold that Pirates of the Caribbean had on all of us for a while, and probably still does. And now I really want to rewatch those movies. But yeah, so he came from a, like, generations of pirates, and he worked very hard to form his very own pirate fleet, which was known to be quite the formidable group. He was known for his military-like assertion that formed this reputation of his. Most specifically, he was known for what was called the Red Flag Fleet, which was a fleet. This, I, like, whenever you think of a pirate fleet, I think, like, maybe, like, how many ships do you think? I think of, like, maybe five. Like, five would be impressive to me. Yeah, this fleet had 300 ships.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Basically, like, a little military that carried anywhere at any given time from 20,000 to 40,000 pirates.
Wow.
Like, what?
Those numbers are crazy.
It was, at one point or another, it was the largest pirate group in the world.
Wow.
Which, wow.
I mean, I would be frightened if there was another larger one.
If you had, well, true. If you had, like, 300 ships just roll deep on an area, like...
Oh, my gosh.
And I am not very affluent in pirate culture.
You're not.
That's even the way to say that. But it sounded like they didn't travel in like one giant group.
Yeah.
They kind of
had side missions.
Yeah, sure. They kind of like governed different areas. Like this group would run this area. This part of the group would run this area. I believe it was my understanding researching pirate lore here.
Do you know like what modern day area they were in?
Oh, like yeah. They were in the South China Sea.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Hmm. And Shi Chang, who I'm specifically talking about, she was in charge of that area from 1801 to 1810, which is crazy. So, yeah, large group. Large group. Now, Shi Yang had quite the reputation herself, even before, getting mixed up with the pirate man. She was known for her business savvy and the trades that she was able to accomplish through the privileged pillow talk that she picked up with or picked up on in her line of business.
Yeah.
The information she gained was worth a pretty penny because she typically serviced very wealthy or politically oriented clientele. So she like knew, she got the scuttlebutt.
Yeah.
I feel like we should just use all pirate words here. and then it's, there's like, this happened so long ago, right? So there's a lot of different tellings of the story. Yeah. It gets twisted a bit. Right. So I'm going to try to tell it's it as lore. Best as I can. At this point, when it's this long ago, it is. It's basically lore.
Right.
So some stories say that he fell in love with her, which I prefer because I think that's adorable. Like
that. Yeah.
Or the other side is that he just set his sights on her because of her business acumen. But Why can't it be both?
Let's romanticize it.
Let's say it's both. Yeah. He was impressed by her business savvy and, you know.
Right.
He loved her.
I like that.
I love that.
It can be a Disney movie.
It's now a Disney movie. She is a Disney princess. Yes. either way, though, the two were wed in 1801.
Oh.
I know.
I would not have expected that.
They literally just got married. Like, how could it not be romantic?
Right.
Like, it's romantic. They even had two sons together. Shen Yingxi was born in 1803, and then Shen Zhangxi, born in 1807. This is probably the best part of Shen Yi, and I understand he's a pirate, like, lord that terrorized people. Best part of him, man was progressive, to say the least.
Okay.
He did not view his wife as something that he owned. She was his equal.
Oh.
Which, like,
okay.
Snaps for
Shen
Yi.
They are the Beyonce and Jay-Z of pirate world.
Absolutely. I don't even feel, this happened back in the 1800s. Yes. Like, I don't care. But basically, amazing, amazing. So, yeah, he was very, he held her in the same position that he held himself in, which is just like,
yeah.
Dude is in
See,
charge
they're in love.
Of like 40,000 people. They're in love. They love each other very much. So, thanks to his way of thinking, he very tragically, some say it was a big wave, it was a gale of wind, it was a bad storm, whatever it was, caused him to fall overboard on November 16th of 1807 due to a particularly strong gale, wave, whatever, where he met an untimely end, sadly. His wife, Shi Yang, who was heartbroken, I'm adding a lot now, was heartbroken. She immediately took over his ship, his business, and all related operations. Like, she was now in charge.
Yeah.
He was out, she's in. That sounded just insensitive. But, yeah, he died, she's heartbroken, but she stepped right into his role.
Well, and I mean, in such, like, an illegal situation like that, the power structure,
is
she would have
so
had
interesting.
To be, like, he's
commanding.
Dead, I'm in charge.
Oh,
you
know?
Like,
well, and that's like even back, especially back then, like, let's be real. Men were like, oh, women shouldn't be in charge of anything.
Right.
You know, so for her to like not only be viewed as his equal by him, she was viewed as his equal by their fleet.
Yeah.
Which that's a lot of
she
people to be in charge
of. She must have been an impressive woman.
Yes.
You know?
She's kind of my
Good
hero.
For her. Yeah.
High key my hero. So she took over everything, and like I just said, it was known at that time, her nephews, her family members, her family friends, their fleet, whatever that was, they all supported her in her ascension into leadership. Like, they were on board. As far as I could find, nobody was, like, rooting against her or gunning for her position. Like, it was rightfully hers.
Wow.
Which is...
That's great.
Awesome.
I mean, they're pirates, and it's not great, but you know what I mean.
We're just going to ignore that they're... This is a Disney movie we're talking about,
okay.
And everything here is kosher. Okay. So, Shi Yang effectively took over her deceased husband's command over what they basically called the Pirate Confederation, which... I'm sorry. It's cool.
Yeah.
This whole story is cool to me.
Yeah.
It happened a long freaking time
but
ago.
But it's very cool.
We're just going to ignore the problematic side for a second because it happened in the 1800s. Early. Like, fresh 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we don't know anyone alive that was affected by this. So, it is... Somebody's going to be like, I'm affected.
Yes.
Anyway.
We're sorry if we're offending anyone.
Anyway.
We just think that she sounds like a badass.
Pirates are really cool.
Yeah.
I feel like... This is like Grace Sherwood all over again.
Yeah.
Like, did she cause the storm and destroy people's crops and cattle? Maybe. Was she a witch? Absolutely. As I look at your I be not a witch sign on the wall. I love it. It's still one of my favorites.
I drew that off of a picture of her.
Did you really? Yeah, I did. It's still one of my favorites with her Rosie the Riveter pose. Yeah. Anyway, so it is noted as well that all of her subordinates and all of those in business with her listened to her commands without fail. And anytime there was a decision to be made, she was always consulted before anything was done, which, love that. Mm-hmm. Boss queen. Mm-hmm. In 1808, the year after Shi Yang took control, the Pirate Confederation was found to be more active than ever before. So she didn't just, like, take his role, she took them to the next level, which, yikes, because they're scary, but also, like,
get it,
girl boss,
get
anyway,
the bag.
Exactly, get that money, get that paper. So thanks to two majorly successful run-ins with other ships, the Chinese provincial fleet, which I guess was just like a opposing
sporting
fleet.
Goods store. Oh,
sure. They were practically cut in half, which left this band of pirates like basically totally in control over the area that they were in. And like I said, her fleet, the Red Flag Fleet, was the largest pirate fleet on the planet.
And they're just thriving now.
Basically, they're in charge for the next, like, 9 years or whatever. Something insane. So it got really, I'm just going to be honest, it got really confusing with all the names and the places. I'm not familiar with Chinese history, let alone Chinese pirate history. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot more detail if you're curious about looking up those names and places and all that stuff. But this is just like the gist of it. So for the next year, her fleet was just as, if not even more eventful than the year prior. So this is like 2 years in now to her running everything. The second year was even more prosperous. So she continued. They were on the up and up steadily. Shi Yang was called in to personally aid her command in a variety of power struggles that they found themselves engaged in. At one point, she took full control, well, obviously over her own fleet, but then another fleet as well, the White Flag Fleet, ordering those around her directly into battle. Everyone followed her blindly, essentially. Even after suffering the loss of men at the hands of those trying to put them down, it did not deter her spirit. Under her charge, this is not the cool part, under her charge, those along what was known as the Pearl River suffered 6 weeks of a bloody raiding campaign, causing the deaths of approximately 10,000 people. You just did the most dramatic gasp, and I loved it. Yeah, so, like, that part's not cool.
No, it's very not.
It's very not cool.
Yeah.
Sheng Yi Sao was a ruthless leader and a feared pirate. She ran a tight ship and left little room for error. She had many established codes which pertained to all who served under her. Like, there was no exceptions. And I just included her most strict rule from what I could find. And it was, anyone caught giving commands on their own or disobeying a command from a superior is to be immediately decapitated. Like, she did not play around, which is probably has something to say for all the loyalty she really faced. Because she was like, I will cut someone if they don't listen to me.
Right.
Cut their head off. Yeah. Oof. She's intense.
She wasn't messing around.
No, she was not. Eventually, so they eventually... From my understanding, I told you it was very confusing to me. Eventually, they were defeated by somebody. I don't know. But anyway, in 1824, Shen Yi Sao did return back home to Guangdong, which is kind of sweet. Here, she became the proprietor of an infamous gambling house. So, you know, nice little retirement gig.
Okay.
Kind of sweet. In 1844, at around 68 or 69 years old, she had lived a relatively peaceful life after her pirating days, and she did pass away at home. There is plenty to her story from researching this. You know, it's something that happened in the early 1800s. So, like you said, at this point, it's basically lore. It's hard to find what was true, what isn't. It is noted, though, that things are often incorrectly attributed to her.
Oh.
Or, like, there was one main general, like, underneath her. He did a lot of notable things as well that were often, like, incorrectly attributed to her. Mm-hmm. And then like vice versa. So it was a little like foggy trying to find things. But despite this, there have been several film adaptations of her story. There has been a great deal of references to her within literature. There's even a musical about her and her story, as well as many video game references to her person.
Very cool.
But yeah, like I said, because this happened many, many moons ago, there's a lot about her life that's been misconstrued or confused with others. You know, that's just typical as the time ticks on.
Well, yeah, and I mean, something so unregulated like that. Like, nobody was keeping a diary.
It's like the mob. They're not keeping a journal of their daily transactions. Right. Yeah, exactly. But I just want to say, if I got anything wrong or confused, my bad. If you happen to be around during the early 1800s, just let me know. I'd love to correct myself. I just thought her story was just too kick-ass not to talk about.
Yeah, very cool.
That was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Sheng Yi Sao. Super cool. Hmm. Scary pirate lady. Kind of love her, kind of afraid of her.
Mostly afraid of her.
Mostly terrified of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Kick butt, take names.
Yeah.
Be a pirate lord.
I am the captain now.
I am in charge here. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Hopefully we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Go follow us on Instagram and email us.
And Patreon.
Yeah. Everything is in the show notes, so just click there. Okay, we love you. Bye.
I was like, what's a show note? Got it. No, I know. I'm sorry.
Bye.